So on May 19th, we asked the question together, does God still heal? And we used the scriptures of the foreign king Naaman, who was asked to bathe in the puny Jordan River when in his hometown of Damascus, the rivers would have overwhelmed the Jordan. But he obeyed, and he wasn't really obeying willfully, but nevertheless he obeyed and did that which God had asked him to do, and he was healed. That was May 19th when we talked about that, and then we followed it up with our Acts scripture where Peter healed Aeneas, who had been bedridden and paralyzed for 8 years, and then we saw Dorcas, your and my favorite biblical name, who was raised from the dead, if you remember. And again, by Peter, and at that time we asked the question, so these events, these healings, these miracles that took place, are they reflective of what can happen today, or are they just something that takes place in the Bible and relegated to that time period, and God doesn't really work that way anymore, does he? And we asked that question, does God still heal? Are there miracles that take place today, or were they just for that time period that now no longer exists? Well, I told you how I understood it, and I mentioned that I interpret scripture, and these writings depict not just antiquated truths, but rather the fountain of life for each one of us, and that healings and miracles will take place if we would only allow God a chance to reveal himself. So I gave you homework, if you remember, on May 19th, and I don't normally quote myself, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I said. If you weren't here May 19th, I said, I want you for 15 weeks to choose one person to pray for every single day. Pray for a healing of some sort in their lives. Do you know someone in your family who needs to be healed from a physical infirmity? Do you know someone who needs to be healed from alcohol or drugs or adultery or any other issue that is destroying them in more ways than one? I said, pray for that person every single day and expect God to answer. And I said, on September 1st, we will have a miracle service of just witnessing to how God has worked in our lives to create real miracles that only God could have created. Believe that in the name of Jesus, our lives can be changed, and they will. So what's today? September 1st. So here we find ourselves 15 weeks later, after having put the work in, I hope and I pray, and we're going to have a service of witness to God's healing power. We are going to recount how God has acted in your lives. Thank you for my desperate plea. Thank you for responding to my desperate plea last week. I had nothing, but now I have plenty. So I appreciate y'all getting back to me with your stories. And I'm going to start off our first testimony, our first witness, with an email from Gary and Marvis Hambleton. And they said, Dear Pastor, when you presented the idea of each of us offering prayer for an individual, both Gary and I thought of the same person, his youngest sister. She has many significant chronic health problems, but was just diagnosed with age-related macular degeneration. And this was particularly difficult since she has such terrible pain with movement, which means she spends a lot of time reading and watching television. The overall prognosis for improvement was doubtful, and the doctor unwilling at the time even to write a prescription for new glasses. My husband called weekly, but she reported very little progress or improvement. We began praying for her the day Pastor had presented the idea to the congregation. She is unaware that we have been doing this. The following week, when Gary spoke with his sister, she had just returned from the doctor. He noted that her improvement was significant from his previous exam and injection. Since that time, over the past 8 to 9 weeks, her vision has cleared up to the point of the physician now able to prescribe eyewear. The cloudiness in their visual field has cleared, and he would like to reduce the number of injection frequency. Our prayers for her were so specific, and the results were so specific, that we both know it was the hand of the Lord. I hope this is something you could report on our behalf. It truly has been a miracle. Marvis and Gary. After each account, I would love to say, let the whole church say, and y'all say, praise the Lord. I know it sounds contrived, and it is, because I'm making you do it. So let the whole church say,
praise the Lord.
There's more. Sandy, I'm going to invite you, if you would, just to share your witness, if you would. Sandy Fry is going to share. If you can. Thank you. So, Sandy, if you can just hold. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Good, thank you.
I'm going to share the experience of my husband and I in the past 3-4 months. And I'm going to read what I had gotten ready for this morning. On the evening of May 10th, 2019, was the beginning of an awakening of Christ, showing me and my husband just where our trust and faith in him has grown. I drove Ray to LGH that evening because of an ongoing heart issue he has dealt with for 23 years. After 4 days of observation, tests, and some medication changes, he was then released with certain issues not yet resolved, but his doctors would be continuing to work on in the coming weeks, and then told he could no longer drive. In the next 12 weeks, he went through 11 different tests, multiple different doctor appointments, and 2 surgical procedures. During this time, we did a lot of praying, both together and individually each day. The second procedure was the most critical one. It was done on July 30th. The morning of that procedure, as I waited 3 to 4 hours for confirmation that things were going well in the OR, I decided to go into the hospital's chapel for comfort and to pray again that day. As I knelt down in front of the cross and laid my prayers before Christ, and as tears ran down my cheek, I felt an overwhelming peace that only Jesus could give. I knew then that whatever the final prognosis might be for my husband's congestive heart failure issues he might have to deal with, that both of us, along with the Lord at our sides, we would get through it together. Coming out of surgery into recovery, Ray's doctors reported the procedure went extremely well, and as long as recovery goes just as well, he could go home that day, which he did. We knew that God had heard our prayers and blessed us. As ordinary people and Christians, we all face the troubles of life, and it can bring a lot of distress and anxiety, which threatens to overwhelm us. In order to get through those narrow paths of life, we need to turn to our faith and trust our Lord. He is the only one we can count on completely. We all know we are children of God, but we also know we are still sinners. But through the grace of God, He forgives us. And I would like to say that on Friday, he went to his follow-up appointment with his doctor surgeon, and he got 100% clearance, and he's allowed to drive unlimited now. And I'd like to, Ray and I would like to thank everyone for their prayers, cards, calls, and visits, and Pastor Bob for his coming into the hospital the morning of the surgery and praying over us. Thank you.
Let the whole church say.
Praise the Lord.
Who said Presbyterians can't witness, right? Huh? Linda Braden and the entire Deborah circle, is that right? Has been praying for Donnie. Donnie is June Stum's brother. If you don't know his situation, he had been in a very critical condition for a very long time. His prognosis wasn't great. In fact, it was so dire that his life expectancy was minimal. He had feeding tube and throat conditions, which was not healing at all, and the doctors did not see a way in which his throat would ever be able to heal because of the severity of his conditions. So Linda and the entire circle prayed specifically. She had one specific prayer, and that was that he would make it home in any condition by August 1st. Right? You had said August 1st? That's today, September 1st. Well, God answered it in a way, as God often does, that far exceeded their expectations. He's been home, I think, over a month now. He's been able to do rehab, and on September 10th, he'll be having a swallow test, which they expect him to pass, which will allow him to eat for the first time in many months, since January. So slowly but surely, starting to get back to his life as normal. Let the whole church say, praise the Lord. You weren't as enthusiastic for that one. Let the whole church say,
praise the Lord.
And someone's going to walk in like, wait, is this Presbyterian church? What's going on? So we have a couple in this congregation who has been praying specifically for the reconciliation of their son and their granddaughter. It's been over 5 years since the granddaughter has communicated with their son in a healthy way. And over these past 3 months, they have seen their granddaughter, just over the last 15 weeks, they have seen their granddaughter reach out to their son in a location where they just happened to find themselves by chance, I would say by providence. They have seen their granddaughter over these last 15 weeks successively. They've seen her ask their son for help as she moved into college. They have seen this granddaughter and their son spend the day together, have lunch together, and at the end of the day, this granddaughter hugging their son and saying, I love you, Dad. Let the whole church say. Over the past 15 weeks, we have a couple in this church who I think need help with communicating, but they've been praying specific. That was a joke, sorry. They have been praying specifically for the last 15 weeks independently of each other, not telling each other who they are praying for until last week when I think I made y'all a little guilty, right? And then they asked each other, so who are you praying for? And they came to find out that they were each praying for the same three people after 4 weeks of having prayed together. And over these 15 weeks, they have seen the miracle of restored mobility for two people that they were praying for. And they continue to pray for healing for pain from another member of their family. God is at work and is at work in a way that is miraculous, and let the whole church say, how many of you know Diane Nesbitt? Oh, wow, a lot of you. Okay. Well, 5 years ago, I had been sending Diane my e-news, and somehow I changed her email by mistake, and it was a Gmail account. And about 5 years ago, I got a response from Diane Nesbitt, said, this is not the Diane Nesbitt you think it is. I live in Maryland. Can you please remove me from your list? And I looked for the unsubscribe button, and I couldn't find it. So I had no idea how. No, I could have sworn I had taken her off the list, and she would repeatedly say, "Nope, you didn't do it. I'm still getting these emails. I don't want to get these emails." And then I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago, I sent another one out, and she wrote back and said, "I got that one too. But by the way, can you keep me on? I don't want to be taken off anymore." I don't know what I wrote about. Something really important, I'm sure. But anyway, so she wanted to be kept on. So she's been, Diane Nesbitt has been staying on, and she's been following us, and she's been praying with us. And here's the email that she wrote from the other Diane Nesbitt, the one in Maryland whose email is a mistake on your mailing list, a mistake that has proved to be a blessing on my life. Read your message about the miracle of healing prayer and thought I would share mine. The healing is still in progress for my husband, who has been lifted in prayer by so many for so long, though not part of your specific request in May. My healthy, fit marathon and ultra marathon trail runner husband of almost 36 years was struck by a tick-borne illness called, nope, I'm not even going to try that one. It has caused his brain to swell. He still copes with the resulting traumatic brain injury. This summer, he had to have part of his colon removed, and the surgeon unknowingly injured his small intestine while performing the surgery, so he underwent emergency surgery 2 days later. The trauma caused his entire intestinal system to go into a paralyzed state for more than 10 days, and he had to be fed by infusions into his bloodstream. Then a month later, he had a third emergency surgery, this time for adhesions and infection. It has been a truly awful, life-changing year. The answers, yes, answers to the miracle of healing prayers on his behalf are that while he is still coping with an ileostomy, surgeons hope to reverse it end of September, early October. He is alive. He can talk. He can walk. He's been able to return to work. These are all blessings that at several points this past year were not given outcomes. While it is still very hard, we move forward and are grateful for what is. Let the whole church say. Both Carol Reimiller and Kathy Villa shared with me two different stories about co-workers whose bodies were riddled with cancer, and over this 15-week period, miraculously, the doctors can find no cancer, and they are both cancer-free. Let the whole church say. Jean Ponce and George sent this email. We have been praying for my niece Deb, who was diagnosed in early March with a rare blood vessel disorder, a disease of the artery walls called fibromuscular dysplasia. Man, that's harder than some of those Hebrew names in the Bible. It was discovered when she went to the hospital for a heart attack. There's no cure for this particular disease. Deb needs to keep her blood pressure under control, do cardiac rehab and exercise. She keeps in close touch through text with her doctor at Johns Hopkins. She told me Thursday that she has had so much loving support and so many prayers that she is feeling much better. Let the whole church say. Linda Cornelia shared her witness of praying over these last 3 months. We all have a story, and mine begins with the morning of January 13th, 2013, when my husband had a stroke. He was taken to LGH, and I will always remember when Pastor Bob came to the hospital for us. When your pastor comes to you in such a time of your life, it's so memorable. It still touches me of that memory with tears in my eyes. Since then, my husband has been in a facility where he is getting very good care. I am thankful for his partial healing, but it will never be 100%. God has given me the strength and love to live my life each day, making some important decisions. Also, the love and support that I receive from the congregation is a blessing to me and my husband. Philippians 4:13, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And let the whole church say. Wayne and Frank Carr also shared their prayers. Dear Bob, just today we received the news. So today that would have been the 30th of August. Just today we received the news that Wayne's mother is continuing to heal from breast cancer. We thank God for this good news and for the prayers of our friends, family, and our faith community, as yesterday we celebrated her 97th birthday. Wayne and Fran. And let the whole church say. We have a father who has been praying for his daughter, a daughter who is lost and unhappy with herself and with her life, and just last week was questioning everything about a recent move, which in turn made her question everything about her own life, and she was starting to spiral into a not-so-good place. On Thursday, she called her father in a way, so just this past Thursday, in a way that he described as excited and bubbly and giddy. He hadn't heard her like that in years. And she said that she had a new lease on life, and she doesn't know Jesus, and that was his primary prayer, was that she would come to know Jesus. But he does feel very strongly that this new lease on life that she has is the first step in facilitating her walk with Christ. Let the whole church say,
Praise.
Now, there are times, and maybe more often than not, that your prayers are like those of a member who prayed for a friend who was diagnosed with cancer right around the time of when we started to pray together. This friend passed away just a few weeks ago. So where does that leave us in this service of witness? Not a Pollyanna, unrealistic, naive service that tries to identify God as only making sense to us on our time frame and our rules. Let the whole church say, are you able to say praise the Lord even when we don't get an answer to prayer? Right? That's the tough part. It's trying to figure out, where is our faith? How do we understand how God's at work even when it doesn't feel like it, or even when it seems like God isn't at work? You know, when we eventually finish up in Acts, I think in 2025, the next book of the Bible that I want us to look at is Colossians. I encourage you, it's not very long, you can do it in one sitting. I encourage you today when you get home to look through Colossians. It's a letter of Paul to a church that he loves. It's a letter from a pastor, from a person who adores this church and the people that are in it. And he writes in chapter 1, I want you to look not just at chapter 1, but of course the whole book of the Bible. So Colossians, Galatians, Colossians is at the end. Okay. I want you to read especially what he says in verse 1 and following, or verse starting at verse 3, where he states, in our prayers for you, we always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. So our journey together as a family, I think, has many outcomes. And for me, at least, has as its ultimate goal what we read Paul say in verse 28 in chapter 1 of Colossians, where he states, it is he whom we proclaim, it is Jesus whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So what we do together as a family is so that we can be presented mature in Christ on that final day. That's why we read scriptures together in our 90-day challenges, so that we can grow in our faith and become more mature. That's why we learn about tithing together. It has nothing to do with the bottom line of the church, but it has everything to do with you being able to experience the fullness of God in all of your life. That's why we pray together. When was the last time that you and your wife talked about healings? When was the last time that you were sitting in your tractor or in your car wondering, what am I going to tell Pastor Bob about how God has worked in my life? When was the last time you thought about this at all, if not over these past 15 weeks? So that's why we pray together, so that, yes, absolutely, people will be healed, and I believe that people have been healed and will be healed, but also so that God's kingdom can be revealed to those who don't know him. Also so that those who do know him may become more mature in their faith, so that on that day when he does come back, he can claim us as his children. Brothers and sisters, dear family, pray without ceasing, knowing that if you seek first the kingdom of God, then all things will be added unto you. And we pray this and say this in the name of Jesus, who is able to do all things. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks, and we know that you are at work in individual lives, in the life of this church, in ways that we haven't recounted this Sunday morning. Lord, I pray for each person who didn't say anything and yet has a story to tell. I ask you, Lord, that you will strengthen them. Allow them to see your hand at work and allow them to know that you never abandon and you never leave, but rather you always protect us under your loving wings and watch over us as we look to do your will. Thank you for equipping us for that. And we pray this now in your holy name. Amen.